call it ChatGPT on steroids, but but it's where you ask it a very specific question, let's say a very direct question. It will actually go through all the data in your database, including your documentation, and it will actually give you a summary of what it finds with the annotated sources.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is about using artificial intelligence for the automated writing of clinical study reports. Now, CSRs can take an internal team around 6 weeks to write up. Another area, similar, are safety reports, which can be very time-consuming, given it's a regulatory requirement every year, no matter how old the drug is. So these have to be filed by a certain deadline, and so it does take up a lot of team time as well. Today, I'm with Jennifer Bittinger, the CEO of Narrativa, a company that uses AI to automate the writing of these kind of reports. Thank you so much for coming on, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
Can we start with you telling me a little bit about your background and how you got into this space?
Yeah, it's quite a fun story, which I always love to share. So my background is primarily television and journalism. I actually was a broadcaster for years. I was even a weather anchor. Ironically, that's where I first started over 20 years ago. It's been a while. Yeah. And all of that brought me to California. I was on the East Coast, and that brought me to California, where I worked in media, corporate media, for a while. It was fun. I still enjoy it, but it definitely has a lot of red tape, as many industries do. But I started working on the side with consulting on several tech projects. And I developed a love for technology. I was going up to San Jose and Silicon Valley quite often, working with large companies like Adobe, Cisco Systems. And I realized I really had a knack for technology. Even though I love creativity and telling a great story, technology can be a tool that can help tell a better story. And so then, long story short, I came across a wonderful company called Narrativa in 2019 that was originally founded in 2015 by David Llorente, our founder and still CEO. And he asked me to come on board to bring Narrativa to the States. They were originally founded in Madrid, Spain. And I knew that this was something different, something new. And you ever have those moments in your life where you meet someone or you come across a new technology and you're like, this is going to change many things. I originally had one of those moments when I met the founders of Hulu, and I helped them for a little bit when I first came to Los Angeles. So I knew that this was another moment, another big milestone in advancements for not just one industry, but every industry. So I came on board in 2019 as president of Narrativa to really help expand our AI automation reach in North America. And so it's been a great journey. And it's been amazing to see now what we can do.
Amazing. And so you said that Narrativa was founded in 2015. What led David to found the company? Do you know?
Yes. So David, his background, he had four different companies that he started. Two had very successful exits. They were marketing agencies, the two that he exited. And his number one problem, though, within those agencies was that his clients never had enough ongoing engaging content. As we know, content is key for not only sales, acquisition and retention, but also for communicating and growing your brand. So he and two other colleagues of his from a computer science program that he finished for his master's, they said, listen, we can create our own proprietary AI software that will turn data into text, and using NLG, natural language generation, natural language processing, we think we can do this well.
Yeah.
And they did. So that's how Narrativa was founded in 2015. And then they started first just servicing media and gaming and finance companies, helping to use large data sets, whether they were private data sets or public. And they could actually take that data and turn it into articles, long tail, short tail articles, like for the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Infobae, or they could turn it into reports, you know, for insurance companies, for their quarterly, monthly reports or anything like that. So they did it well. But then in 2019, right when I came on board, which this is kind of a lot happened all at once, we got big knocks on our doors from several large pharma sponsors, including Almirall, Merck, Sanofi, TCS, Tata Consulting Services. And they said, listen, we see that Narrativa is really great at turning data into text. Could you do that with clinical trial regulatory documentation? And we said, maybe. We have a yes or no.
Yeah.
We said, we knew it was such a highly regulated area, the most risk adverse industry in the world, for good reasons, right? Our lives are dependent on that.
Yeah.
So it was a whole new area, and we jumped in head first. Our data science team was very brave and worked tirelessly with these sponsors to use their data, which was wonderful. They gave us, access to data sets of previous studies that were already complete to build out our software so that we could actually fully automate patient narratives, tables, listings, and figures, even the CSR, clinical study report. And so through this, we started growing a whole new part of our business into life sciences, especially clinical trials.
Wow. And so how long did it take to get to, you know, being able to automate a CSR, for example?
It took us a good 2.5 years, I would say now almost 3 years, because we were automating within the first 2 years. We could fully automate sections 1 through 9, section 10, section 12, but then section 11, we were saying, okay, the TLFs, the tables, listings, and figures were sent to our team for automation, and they were scanned PDFs. Mm-hmm. And as you know, when you have a scanned document, it's much harder to extract the data from that document. So we pressed pause. And this was actually in a pilot with Merck. We actually did this pilot. We were doing great. They loved the portions that we could automate. But we said, let's press pause and actually go upstream and try to fully automate the TLFs. Because we know that if we can actually automate tables, listings, and figures, then everything else will flow quickly and easily into the full CSR.
Nice.
And so as of this year now, we have ran several pilots with clients fully automating TLFs. And so now we are able to do the full CSR, which is wonderful. And I think we're seeing just, it's amazing how even statisticians, programmers and medical writers are seeing the increased data accuracy across the board, and not just the speed at which this can increase your process, right? And the reduction of costs, but also the accuracy of the data is what's most powerful. I think that's going to help us.
And so I get that it would take that long to get it really good. Now, when you start with a client, how long does it take to onboard and train on their data?
Yeah. On average, we say we have a 2-week discovery time period. In that 2 weeks, we actually request the client to give us copies of a previous study, one that's already done. It's public. You know, we're not going to hurt anything. It's we wanted to see, okay, we want to have the comparison of a data set with their generated documentation, whether that's the patient narratives or the TLFs or the full CSR, because we actually take that and run it through our software, our knowledge graph, which is a huge component of our AI software that actually can read it and understand the structure.
Yeah.
And the data mapping of where those data points need to go and the exact structure that that client wants. As we know, that's one of the hardest things within this industry is that there's no standardized, you know, template for TLFs or patient narrative. Everyone has their own structure. Yeah. So that's usually the time. It's usually around a 2-week period. And then we start actually working on generating the patient narratives or the documentation first, second, third draft. We send it to the client. They review it. So the medical writing team, they're not going anywhere. In fact, we need them more than ever because they are the QC gatekeepers. They're the quality control gatekeepers who, between the data and the regulators, they are the number one people to sign off on these documents.
But it must save them so much time that they can spend on other things, right?
Yes, yes. And I spoke a week ago at DPharm, Disruptive Pharma in Boston, about this, where the biggest area that we're seeing change for medical writers is that they can now use our AI medical writing assistant, as we call it, to do the grunt work, do the work that would take you many, many hours. And then you can actually be more of a copy editor. You can be the person who goes in, does that quality control, and then you can use your time to actually provide more insight for greater innovation, for how to increase your pipeline, right? Or to help your team and to even highlight data discrepancies. This is an interesting point. We now have a client that I'll share about here in a second, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We now are running even mid-trial documentation generation with our AI automation because it's actually highlighting the data discrepancies that the teams can go back to the site coordinator and say, these dates are wrong. You know, what's wrong with this concomitant medication? Why was this given at this date? This doesn't look accurate. So we can actually fix things before the databases are locked, before the SDTM or the ADAM databases are locked. And that's really helpful.
That's amazing. And so after you put it through the AI, so how long does that take again? So it's 2 weeks to onboard. What about getting it from after the 2 weeks? How quickly can you get a completed CSR?
We can generate the full CSR depending on the therapeutic area. Some are very, very large and more complex and how many patients were in that study. But we can generate it anywhere from, within 30 minutes to 3 hours, depending on how large it is.
Wow.
But it's amazing. I mean, just the patient narratives alone are generated in under a minute.
Oh my God.
And so it's awesome because I'm like, okay, I love Microsoft Office, right? For example, where would our lives be without Microsoft Word or Excel or PowerPoint? Think about that. Before Microsoft Office existed, our lives were much longer. You know, our workday was much longer because we didn't have an assistant helping us to automatically, calculate, right, within Excel, all the calculations we need for a budget. So that's what I want people to start thinking of this as, okay, this is my assistant. This is just going to help me to speed up my process and to maybe safeguard me from the errors that will be highlighted. So it's going to help me keep my job because it's my safeguard to help highlight any of those areas that need to be addressed.
And how complete is it once they get it?
I would say, I want to say 100%, but we always say 80% because we still need the human mind,
of course,
the experts to go in and quality control, do a quality check, make sure that everything is exactly as you want it. And sometimes it's even maybe the structure. Maybe they have, on the TLFs, on the tables, maybe the headers need to be changed or maybe the footers or so. We always want to make sure it's 80%. We don't ever want to say we're 100 yet. Okay, I would say soon, but you know, we still need everyone involved.
Of course. I mean, I'm a big proponent of human in the loop because yes. particularly in pharma, when you've got, you know, penalties if you get anything wrong mm-hmm. and people can get hurt. But I'm just wondering about the accuracy. So have you looked at, I'm guessing it's probably more accurate because the AI is finding everything, whereas human error in the original drafts when people were doing the whole thing, you would have more human error, for example. Are you finding that?
Yes, we are. And in fact, we ran a pilot with a medium-sized pharma sponsor 2 months ago just for TLFs. And it was with their senior programmers. We did first a POC of a previous study because they wanted to see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do a comparison of, you know, human generated table yeah. versus AI generated table. Yeah. And they were actually shocked at the amount of errors that it highlighted that it had to fix. And at first I was really apprehensive as to how these programmers would take it. Yes. They were the ones who generated these tables. Mm. But I said, I'm not here to point out your mistakes. We're human, right? Mm. We get tired. Our eyes get tired. Our brains get tired.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a great way to show you that with automation and with AI, it can actually help us. It can Absolutely. Actually be our partner in this journey. But even then with the TLFs, that's one area we do make sure, because they're so complex, to have a human programmer do the exact same mm-hmm. table as what we have generated, just because that's part of our QC process right now. Mm-hmm. It may okay. change, but that's for sure what we're and trying that, to keep.
Yeah. And what are the main use cases? Are they mainly CSRs that you do and the tables, yeah. listings, figures?
As of right now, yeah, patient narratives is
and patient narratives, yeah.
easiest. Yeah, I mean, patient narratives, they can be very complex also because, you know, you're having to describe not only the data of the adverse events, but also, you know, we even include even like the notes from procedure findings. So mm-hmm. we're using both NLG and NLP capabilities, you know, the processing, the natural language processing and insights component yeah. of the AI automation model. But then I would say now we have kind of dabbled in other areas. So we mm. even have now IND submission where
oh,
we're
really
even portions of protocol that we have clients asking us to automate. And now we're even working, we just built 2 months ago, a new tool that's like it's a semantic search tool. It's very powerful. I call it ChatGPT on steroids, but but it's where you actually have the software on your database and it can actually, you ask it a very specific question. Let's say a very direct question. Mm-hmm. You know, how many African American men ages 50 to 55 had an adverse event in a cardiovascular trial in June 2022, or you know, a certain yeah. time period, very specific question, it will actually go through all the data in your database, including your documentation, and it will actually give you a summary of what it finds with the annotated sources. Yeah. And that is what's most powerful, because we always have to have sources.
Of course,
in this
yeah.
industry. And so below it, you'll see all the sources of where those files are.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that is so helpful because it yeah. speeds up the time for research, for your teams when they're building a new protocol, or, you know, even sales teams, marketing teams, right?
Yeah.
It can actually, it has another component where it can build out a full, from a broad question, you can include, let's say, outside sources like PubMed or New England Journal of Medicine, and it will actually search a global search for answers. How many trials globally had an adverse event?
You yeah. know,
for these types of patients.
Yeah.
And it gives you all the sources. So it's wow. really a powerful tool. That's one of the new fun ones that we have quite a few clients that are bringing on board.
What about safety reports? Because I think that your tool would be amazing to do safety reports. You know, companies have like any drug that they've ever had, even if it's off patent, you still have to do the annual safety report, and that can end up being hundreds of safety reports a year, which are typically, you know, done by medical doctors who could be better employed in other areas of the business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We haven't done any yet in a full pilot, but we have several that are interested. Maybe by the end of the year, we might start on one.
But
that's a whole nother area that I think we would easily be able to help with, you know, and fully automate are the safety reports.
Mm-hmm. There's, in fact, the more I listen to you, there's so many actual areas that you could, you know, use cases that you could get into in pharma. I mean, I can think of at least another 15 that might come back to you for another podcast, but there's so many areas that you could actually do stuff with this.
Yeah. And I think at this point, that's our biggest challenge is there's only so many of us. In fact, we just opened our Series A funding round right now because we need to grow. I mean, we're growing, but we need more staff. And it's a great problem to have. Every week we have more and more biotech sponsors and CROs coming to us saying, here's a new use case. Can you help us? And so it's a great time. I would say it's almost like, I call it kind of the AI revolution. It's fun to see, okay, what will continue to be automated even 10 years from now and what will go away, you know, and some things will, and that's okay. But it is a new era, a new fun chapter for our industry.
It's amazing. Do you have any case studies that you could share, even if you keep the client name confidential, but just what they were doing and then what they did with you and what they found were the benefits of doing that?
Yes. In fact, I'll share the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, as I mentioned earlier, we started working with them earlier this year in January 2023, and they wanted us to fully automate all the patient narratives for their BAML trial. Mm-hmm. And we were successful in providing, not only was it, we helped reduce their timeline by 65% for the documentation, but we also helped reduce the cost by 40%. And we had 100% data accuracy. And what's most exciting, which I get really excited about this, is that it was the first trial submission to the FDA with fully automated patient narratives ever in history. And I think to myself, this is not just great for us, for Narrativa. This is great for the whole industry. Because now the FDA, you know, I think their eyes are kind of on the pulse. They're understanding, okay, now this is going to become a norm. And in fact, we're excited next year. We're hoping to possibly, you know, present to the FDA our solutions and really try to get them on board, you know, and say, what, you know, how can we have these ready for you? You know, what are you looking for? Because our sponsors and biotechs and CROs, we all are kind of doing things similar, but in our own unique way. Everyone's kind of siloed. But when you have your regulators share what they are looking for, that is what's going to be mandated across the industry. And so we want to make sure that we are aligned 100% with the regulators.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, you've got so many things that you can go. What do you think is your next step for Narrativa?
I think our next step is we now can fully automate the CSR. Every time that clients come to us, they're asking for more and more automation, all the way from even protocol down to CSR and submission. And so I think our big next step is we're going to try to have a full, you know, 100% automation solution. I think because I know with like patient narratives, that's such a tiny piece of the pie in this industry of clinical trials. We really want to address a much bigger piece of the pie to help, you know, so that we can alleviate more pain points in a greater way.
Would be great to get a lot more end-to-end automation with the clinical trial process. Yeah, it's incredible. Wow. Well, thank you. For anyone listening who wants to get in touch with Jennifer and David and the team, if you go to Narrativa, NARRATIVA.com, you can find out more and get in touch with them. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Amazing, really impressive work.
Thank you. This has been wonderful. Really appreciate it. It was great to talk with you today. Thank you.
Likewise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.